Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Welcome to Listen to Older Voices. I'm Rob Greaves, and this is the second part of a four-part program featuring Laurie Arthur. Born in 1942, Laurie overcame two major medical conditions as a young boy, one of which was polio, and he went on to build himself up to being a sports champion in secondary school and very adept in electronics. However, it is his love of music that sees him build a bass guitar to become the bass player in the well-known group of the 1950s, The Planets, who along with the Thunderbirds were the top Melbourne groups. But Laurie had bigger ideas than being a bass player in someone else's group, and he went on in the early 1960s to form and play lead guitar in the brilliant group The Strangers. Laurie's total dedication to his music and making The Strangers the best band they could be saw the group dominate the music scene, commanding fees from dance promoters that other groups could only dream about. We pick up now with Laurie talking about the transition from a passion for sports to a passion for music.
Like I say, I was tapering out of the exercise period and sporting period to my music period. And my father gave me the clue about learning scales and the names of the notes and the chords and that. So I'd never played in a band, and I was down at Earl's Court on a Sunday, and there were two main bands in Melbourne, the Thunderbirds and the Planets. And it ended up being that the bass player and the Planets left that Sunday, and the Planets had a three-day mini tour to do over Australia Day weekend. Anyway, I met introduced to the leader, Benny Joyner, the lead guitar player, and I ended up auditioning after the dance, everyone gone. And he came out with a big list of numbers and he said, "Do you know any of these?" And I said, "Oh, well, look, what about the ones that you've taped on the floor, the last bracket you did?" And because I'd heard the last bracket and knowing I had to audition as a bass player, whatever the bass player did, I did. So he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, done. Three songs. He said, "Well, you know, you can obviously play by ear and that, so, but you haven't got a bass, have you?" And I said, "No, I can get one, though." I said, "Don't worry, I can get one." So he said, "Well, we've got to have a rehearsal before we go away on Wednesday." I said, "I'll have one." He brought all the records round on Monday night, but between Sunday night and Wednesday lunchtime, I went home and built a bass.
Oh, God, Laurie.
Actually, when I turned up for rehearsal on the Wednesday at 1 o'clock, I had to bring a towel with me because I shellacked it.
Oh, gosh.
And it wasn't quite dry.
Oh, gosh.
So I had to have a towel on my lap and put the bass on, and it wasn't fully dry. I'd never played in a band. My actual first gig was Friday night at the Victoria Hall in Colbeck, and I was sort of thrown in the deep end. I'd never played in a band before, but my first gig on stage was a full-time band. Graham Lyle, the most incredible sax player, very well known. He became the chair of the music department at Sydney University, the Graham Lyle band for Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
But that was in his rock days. He was the sax player.
So you were in good company, weren't you?
Oh.
I mean, this might be the impossible question, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do you recall the first number you played with them?
No, I don't.
Oh, what a shame. I thought it was the impossible question.
Yeah. No, in fact, there are a lot of songs I didn't know the names of, because once I knew the key, it was just start and go.
Yeah.
So I did the tour with the Planets the Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, because Monday was the holiday for Australia Day weekend. So that was my first band that I ever played in.
Was that an exciting moment for you? Or did you just take it in your stride and it was just a job?
Oh, no, it was, well, not exciting, but exhilarating.
Exhilarating,
yes. Rather than exciting. Like, yeah. It was a buzz.
No stage fears, getting up in front of people for the first time like that?
No, more concentrating and listening to what I had to do. Okay. So, no, I wasn't worried about stage fright or anything.
So was that sufficient for them to invite you to join them as a permanent bass player?
Oh, yeah.
So how long did that gig last for, roughly?
About 9 months. But I always wanted to play lead guitar, not bass. Mm. I was a bass player by default then. Mm. So the first band that I played actual lead guitar in, because Benny wouldn't let me, he wouldn't let me play a guitar and swap over and he played bass. So Fred Whelan, who played in a band called the Lincolns, he went to Glenroy High the same as I did. And he had to walk past my place to go up the shops. So I knew he was playing guitar in a band and I'm playing bass.
Mm.
So we had one rare Saturday night off from the Planets. So I asked Fred, could I bring my guitar that I'd made and my amp that I'd made and sit in with his band? And that's the first time I played lead guitar in a band, was with the Lincolns.
The Lincolns, yes.
And when I was playing, I noticed that Fred had a great wrist for rhythm. And I'm still full-time in the Planets. So after the gig, I said, look, Fred, I don't want to destroy your band, but I'm going to be putting a guitar band together. I don't want to play bass in the Planets or play bass, period. I want to play lead guitar. Would you like to join with me and we'll get a guitar band going? And he said, yes. So while I'm playing bass in the Planets, Fred would come round to my place and we'd work on guitar parts. And then Peter Robinson came back from playing with Ray Hoff and the Hoffbeats in Western Australia, and he asked me, do I want to play guitar in his band? And I said, no. He said, why? I said, well, I'm playing full-time with the Planets. I'd been kicked out of home because I didn't go to university, by the way.
Oh, right.
Which I didn't mind my father doing. He said, if you want to play music, play somewhere else. So I did. And I refused Peter's offer on the basis that, A, I was getting full-time money, good money in the Planets, working a lot, and B, I didn't want to play in his band. Fred and I were already for months practicing to do a guitar thing. And I didn't mention to Peter that I'd, you know, been working with Fred on.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just okay.
Mm.
So I'm still playing the Planets. Peter formed a band and it only lasted about 3 months, unfortunately. But when it did fold, I said, Pete, do you want to play in my band? I've got, well, come and see next Saturday afternoon what I've got happening. So Peter, having played full-time in the Thunderbirds and with Ray Hoff in Western Australia, he came out to my place on a Saturday afternoon in the garage, and just Fred, him and myself played, and we just had all the parts down.
It just gelled.
Yeah, gelled. So all we had to do was find a drummer. So we tried out about 3 or 4 drummers and didn't gel, if you put it.
Mm.
So Peter remembered that he played with a band called the Earls at Earls Court. And he got onto Graham recording then, who was Garth. So, or he was Graham then. Graham's father brought him out with his drum set and set up in the garage at my place, and we played one song, and we all just looked at each other and laughed. Hey, you're it. You get the feel, you know, it's feel's more important.
Yeah.
If you haven't got the feel, doesn't work. So then we could just rattle off song after song after song.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories. I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Laurie Arthur. And Laurie is recalling how his first group came together, the group that would later on become The Strangers.
In that early stage of development, who was influencing you most in your style? Was it the Shadows type music?
Well, firstly, three guitar players that influenced me a lot were Chuck Berry, Cliff Gallup. He was with Gene Vincent.
Oh, okay.
And the Blue Caps.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl Burleson from the Rock and Roll Trio. And James Burton, who used to be on Friday night TV with the Nelsons.
Mm.
And every third or fourth show, they'd somehow get the band in with Ricky singing. Mm. So James Burton. On the instrumental side, The Shadows, I wrote quite a few songs that were instrumentals that were recorded with W&G, and we practiced in my garage on a Saturday afternoon. Fred Whelan came up with the name The Strangers, but then my parents moved to a big double-story house with a basement or cellar that they said, that's yours. And we practiced down that basement one whole weekend. I'd moved back home again. My father had accepted me that I'm going to be a musician. But it was probably my mum's influence that I'd come back home. So they went away for a weekend, and Fred, Peter, Garth and myself practiced that whole weekend. Played virtually non-stop. Sunday, 5 o'clock, when we're having a break, we've got to go and play somewhere. I said, I know where there's a dance. There's a dance on a Sunday night at the Collingwood Boys Club. Peter Robinson had a car, so we all piled into that. And we went to the Police Boys Club, and we're walking in with all this equipment. And someone said, what are you doing? I said, what's his name? Said we could play. Oh, do you mean Bill? Yeah, Bill said we could play here.
Oh, that's chutzpah.
So we've got our equipment on stage waiting for the other band to finish. And when they finished, they said, what are you guys doing here? Oh, Bill said we could play here. Oh, all right. So the Strangers did their first gig ever at the Collingwood Police Boys Club for fun. And it was fun. I know, Ron, I can't remember the first song we played.
Did you get a good reception?
Didn't really notice the reception because we were too into each other that we were...
You're into sharing the experience of the moment.
Yeah. All looking at you. We had big smiles on our faces.
Of course.
More looking at, hey, we're playing live on stage rather than to whom we were playing for.
You mentioned you wrote some music and some of it was recorded on W&G. Did any of it ever get any airplay?
Oh, yeah.
Can you give us a track?
Leaving Town, okay. The other side of Cry of the Wild Goose. Undertow.
Thank you.
remember.
No, no, okay. Long.
It's
no, no, it's a long time, yes.
50 plus years ago. Yeah.
Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Radio.
That period, the crossover from the 50s to the 60s, was an interesting period because of all the payola scandals in the United States, and a lot of rock and roll became very emasculated. But there was the rise of the instrumentals via the surf music and, of course, the Shadows and things like this. Did you ride that wave for a while?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Because the Strangers really were a premier group, weren't they? Almost, you'd have to say, iconic now.
Well, thank you. But I'd rather my peers say how good or bad we weren't bad.
No, you weren't bad. Well, look, speaking from a young guy with stars in his eyes, I remember coming along and watching The Strangers, and I didn't know you, of course, but just being bowled over by the quality of the sound. It was just so clean.
We were the first band to use horns on stage. We were the first band to use our own sound guy, Alan Kidston.
And he showed.
Well, after doing the Collingwood Police Boys Club, for nothing, I was in the Glenroy Police Boys Club as part of my sporting thing to get fit and stronger. So I was in that for about 5 years. So I approached them and said, look, I got a band. What about we run a dance and you guys do the security, the police, and we'll do the playing, and we'll split the money a third to you and two thirds to us. So they said, fine. Well, both Fred and Graham were good at artwork, so they drew up posters. We stuck them around Glenroy, and we got about 80 people the first Saturday night. Then it went to about 120, went up 40 people every week until we had quite a good crowd at about 300 plus. The hall used to hold a maximum of about 400, and before, it was only 3 or 4 months before we used to get that sort of crowd.
That's a decent crowd.
The average weekly wage then was, we were in pounds in those days.
Yes.
Adult wage was less than £20. So after the Glenroy dance was successful, I started or took over a dance at the Essendon Plaza, which is a converted picture theatre. And the Strangers played Friday night at the Essendon Plaza, where I used to pay the other guys £25 each. And on Saturday night, we would get that sort of money as well.
That was great money.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that stopped Dad's concerns about you becoming a musician. That would have...
Well...
They had to be a little bit impressed with your abilities in earning that money then.
Well, it was a little bit of a disincentive to other promoters when I was managing the band as well. Ian Mann, that run Malvern Town Hall, would ring up and say, I want the Strangers. How much? And I'd say, oh, £100 and £10 for our sound guy. What, £100? Yeah. He would say, I can get 4 or 5 bands for that. The average band would be getting £5 a night.
Yeah, well, I was the average band, yes.
But because I ran both dances Friday and Saturday night, so I said to him, I'm not going to be playing at your dance on a Saturday when we're getting over £25 each on a Saturday night. So he said, all right. And then Kevin McClellan from Preston Town Hall, that was another big town hall dance, rang up, same thing. Well, not going to come to your dance and earn less money than we got from where we're playing Saturday at the Police Boys Club. So one day Kevin rang me. He said, Laurie, can't get you Saturday, but Cup Eve. You're not working Cup Eve. I'm running a big show on Cup Eve. So sure, we're not working. How much? I said, £100. He said, but you're not working. I said, well, we don't have to work Friday and Saturday. We're getting 2 weekly wages each. We're not going to work for less than £100. I said, but Kevin, you'll get some advantages. He said, what do you mean? Well, by that time, the Strangers had records out and we were doing festival hall shows with...
You're drawing crowds.
International artists.
Yeah.
And I became friendly with Stan Rofe, who was Stan the Man. He did a hell of a lot to help Melbourne bands and artists.
The number of Melbourne musicians I've spoke to have said exactly that.
Yeah, well, if I had something to say, I could just go into 3KZ and talk to Stan for the records, and then he'd say, well, you're on. And you'd say, what are you doing this Cup Eve? We're playing for the first time at Preston Town Hall.
Fred
and
promotion.
I explained to Kevin that I'd be able to get him ads for nothing.
Mm.
And I said, how much do you pay for ads? Anyway, he worked it. I said, well, actually, you're paying us nothing because I'll get you more than £100 worth of ads with Stan the Man. So you really pay
everybody listened to. That's right.
So Kevin agreed to pay us £100, and I said to him, "Well, what do you expect us to do for that £100, Kevin?" And he said, "Oh, well, you'll do a bracket in the big hall, and then a bracket in the small hall. Hang on, Kevin. We're not moving our stuff from the big. Oh, you can use other people's. No, no. We've got to have our own sound, and if you want us to play." We'll do 2 45-minute spots in the big hall, but there's no going into the small hall using other people's equipment, etc. He said, oh, all right. And I said, also, we need the hall open at about 3 o'clock. Oh, no, we open at 7 and set up, everyone sets up at 7 and we start at 8. And I said, no, no, we've got to do a sound check in the afternoon and get everything right. He hummed and hawed about that and said, all right. And he said, is that the lot? And I said, and I'm only a teenager. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
And I said, no, no. I said, we've got our own logo. We're going to have to give you the artwork for that, for the posters, and we've got to be a bigger name than anyone else there. He said, you cheeky young bugger. All right. So we did our first sort of outside dance on a Cup Eve. We did some private dances where people, when we told them what we wanted, they paid it. But mind you, according to my peers, the Strangers then and later on, even after I left, they were probably the highest paid band around.
Well, that's why I think it is, all kidding aside, I think it is... right to say that they became an iconic group because they were a class above everybody else.
Thank you.
In next week's program, Laurie talks about the ongoing success of The Strangers, who backed top artists on records such as Colin Cook and Merv Benton, and of the sharing of the stage with huge overseas artists. That's next week, part 3 of the 4-part program featuring the story of Laurie Arthur on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Turak Times.